Amen. Please go ahead and welcome your neighbor and tell him or her, say, neighbor, welcome to the presence of the Lord. Welcome to the presence of the Lord. Today, the Lord will give you victory in the name of Jesus. Let's read the scripture. The book of Genesis chapter 35 from verse 1 to verse 3, and then we'll read verse 7. Now we're speaking about altar unto the Lord. Altar unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and do what? And dwell there. And make there an altar unto who? Who is speaking here? To who? That means God can ask a man to go and set up an altar. But not just any altar. Altar unto who? That appear unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Verse 2. And Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away strange gods that are among you and be clean. In this month of consecration, the Lord is saying to someone, put away all strange gods that is in your hand, that is in your heart, and be clean and change your garments. Verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto who? Unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Go down to verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, Spirit of the living God. Let the entrance of your word bring light, illumination, revelation, understanding, deliverance, healing, lifting in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We are praying. Amen. Altar unto the Lord. Altar unto the Lord. Beloved, remember a few years back, we talked about altar. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail today. But brethren, I'm here to tell someone altars are real. Altars do exist. Altars do speak. And altars do manifest. Now, when we talk about altar, altar can also mean different things to different people. Altar can have different meaning. We're talking about a place where gifts and sacrifices are offered unto God. Amen. And like I said, there can be altar unto different God. There can be altar unto deity. There can be altar unto even man. But we are talking about altar unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Altar is a place of encounter, a place of surrender. A place where a man meets with God. Hallelujah. From our text, God is not just called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob for fun of it. When God calls Abraham and told him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. The first thing Abraham did was to raise up an altar unto the Lord. Praise God. Genesis chapter 12. I believe from verse 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thee will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto who? Who appeared unto him. Beloved, altar in those days signify that a man has entered into a covenant with God. When God gives you a promise, God gave Abraham a promise, and he did what? He built an altar unto who? Unto the Lord. Look at verse 8. When you know what God has said, everywhere you go to, the Bible says he removed from then, moved to a mountain east of Bethel. He pitched his tent there, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. And what did he do when they got to that new place? He raised up an altar unto who? Altar is a place of covenant, a place of surrender, a place of encounter, a place of consecration. And yes, I said altar is a place where gifts and sacrifices can be offered. Let me also put it this way, beloved. You remember when in Genesis, the same Genesis now, chapter 13. Give me from verse 14. And this was when Lot, God asked Abraham, you need to let Lot go. When Lot separated from him, what did the Lord said? The Lord told him, lift up your eyes from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Next verse. For the land that you see, to thee will I do what? Give it to you and to your seed. Verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, that is when they will be able to number your seed. Now, when God was giving Abraham these promises, did Abraham have a seed of his own? No. Look at verse 18. When God gives you a word, I believe it was, the testimony that was read earlier, you can take it to the bank. It will not fail. When Abraham received this promise, the Bible says when he removed his tent, he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. What did he do again? He raised up another altar. Let me ask you, do you have an altar unto the Lord? Praise God. I'm trying to put it in context, brethren. When we're talking about altar now, I want you to look beyond, a platform, a structure. If I ask you, do you have an altar? Most people think about altar in a negative way. Do you know that God sits upon a throne, and that throne is the altar in heaven? It is the throne of grace. Amen. But let me put it this way. If we're talking about altar, we're not just talking about individual. You can have your own personal altar, correct? A place where you meet and fellowship with God. There could also be a family altar. The parents and the children, correct? Your personal altar, does it substitute your family altar? No. But there could also be a congregational altar. I'm sure we know we have an altar in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And upon that altar is where we are gathering for these 30 days of what? Prayer and praise the Lord. But let me also put it this way. After Jesus came, he shed his blood after salvation. The Bible made us to realize in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. That our bodies, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your as what? That means your body is now a place that God wants to dwell. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Bible made us to realize there that don't you know that your body is what? The temple of God. Amen. The same 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says your body is the temple of God. When you come into a temple, you will always have, what do you always have at the, let's say maybe at the front of the temple, what will you always see there? But the Bible says now you and I, our body is now the temple of, that means your entire being, you have become an altar unto who? That's the difference. Because if your life is not dedicated to God, your altar is not unto the Lord. Have you not seen different deities? And you will see different people that they will tell you these are the custodian of this altar. And you will see them dressed in different kinds of attire. And you can tell right away, these are the priests that are managing this altar. Praise God. Beloved, what I'm telling us this morning is that you and I, going back to that Romans 12:1 now, when we now know that our body is the temple of God, amen, and the Lord is now saying, you now need to present yourself as a living sacrifice. We'll talk about that later. Where I'm going is this. Knowing that your body is now the temple of God, that means anywhere you show up, you are carrying the altar of God. Tell your neighbor, you are a mobile altar. Hallelujah. Beloved, the presence of God can be carried. And anywhere you show up, because God is a God of principle. When you follow his principle, you always see his hand. You always see his power. Hallelujah. When we talk about altar unto the Lord, do you also know that there could also be an evil altar? Praise the Lord. Hello, church. Is that the truth? The Bible says in the book of 2 Kings chapter 16, talking about King Ahaz. 2 Kings chapter 16 from verse 10. 2 Kings 16 from verse 10. This king, Ahaz, went somewhere. He went to Damascus to meet the king of Assyria. And he saw an altar there. Amen. And he said to his own priest, go and build this same altar, the same pattern. Go and build it for me. Praise God. Now, if I can ask you, that altar that is now being built, is it unto the Lord? Amen. Beloved, I've said this. You need to be careful where you put your head. Because it's not every altar that is unto the Lord. When you look at the story of Balaam and Balak, in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 1. Balak wants Balaam to curse the children of Israel. What did Balaam say to Balak? Build me here, how many altar? And prepare 7 oxen and 7 rams. Altars are powerful, church. Seven altars. Why? What is the purpose of those altars? What is the aim of Balak? To do what? To curse the people of God. I decree to someone, every altar erected, set up against your life, the judgment of God will come upon them now. In the name of Jesus. Altars speak based on covenants and agreements that set up such altar. Beloved, I told somebody, every time you see negative patterns, consistent negative patterns, altars are responsible. Consistent negative patterns. Altars are what? Altars can be spiritual. Altars can be physical. Altar can be systemic. And altar can be institutional. Praise God. I'm sure we know a man. Before I go there, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Verse 2 and 3. There is a woman there called Athaliah. She was the queen mother. When her son, who was the king, when he died, praise God. The Bible says 42 years was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year, and his mother's name was what? Athaliah, the daughter of. Look at verse 3. Ahaziah, the Bible says, he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor. To do what? Good? To do wickedly. Praise God. And something happened in verse 10 when his son died. Amen. When he saw that his son was there, what did she do? The Bible says she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. I stand again upon the altar of God at Bethel. Every power of Athaliah that wants to destroy your seed, your result, your effort this season, let the judgment of God come upon them. In the name of Jesus. Altars can be men. Altars can be women. I'm sure we know about Pharaoh. When Moses showed up. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 5. Verse 2. When Moses showed up. He says, who is that God? Amen. That I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. From verse 6, Pharaoh said something. Because your God has given you a promise, I have the power, I'm going to make your life more miserable. And what did he do? He commanded all his officials. The Bible refers to them as taskmasters of the people. Ah, every taskmaster that has been set over your life. To Balin de Kemalusha Tabarien Katoshke. Power changes now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, these people, they are a man called Moses is giving them a false hope. Take away the provision and oppress them. Do you know that the same Pharaoh, when God was done with him, he looked up to Moses and he says, pray for me before you go. I am praying for someone again that by the reason of the visitation of God over your life, every power of Pharaoh that has eternal reign and rule, dominate your home, your destiny, your health, your career. Today, the judgment of God comes upon them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Altars can be spiritual. We read that, I believe it was during the video, Zechariah chapter 1. Amen. Verse 18. It says, and the Lord showed me, and I saw four horns. Amen. Zechariah 1:18. Four horns. And I asked the angel, what's the purpose of this horn? He says, their purpose is to what? Is to cause people's head to always be bowed down. So that nobody will be able to raise up their head. But where there are four horns, there are also four carpenters. We'll come back to that. Thank you, Lord. Altars unto the Lord. The Lord said he wants to deliver and break some people free. Deliver completely from the power of any evil altar. And so we're going to be praying. We're going to be ministering as the Spirit leads. But I would like to emphasize certain things, which is very important. Most of us have prayed before. In the name of Jesus, you have done all you could, and yet you can still see certain patterns, certain negative patterns. And it seems as if these powers are unaffected by the name of Jesus. God is a God of principle. Amen. God is what? A God of principle. If you want to break, you see what the scripture says? When you cast out an evil spirit, what will happen to that spirit? It will leave because it is in whose name? The name of Jesus. But when they leave, what will they do? They will circle back and see if their apartment is still free. If that place is still vacant. And what does the scripture say they will do? They will come back with more and will now occupy. And the Bible says the end of that man will be worse. You see, most of the time when we pray, we cast out. If things does not change in your life, the moment you go out, those demons will come back. And that's why you need to have an understanding. How do I break free from evil altars? How do I break free from evil covenants? How do I break free from evil influence? Number one, you must come to the throne of God in genuine repentance. Please write it down. You must come to where? To the throne of who? In genuine. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, let us, how many of us? Come where? Boldly. To the throne of grace. The throne of God, beloved, is the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help every time there is a need. You need to come to God in genuine repentance. You want to break an evil altar, there must be genuine repentance. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will do what? Will humble themselves. Let me put it this way. I know some of us, we have self-righteousness. I have examined my life. There is no sin in me. You may be right. But let me tell you, altars, covenants are powerful. It may not be your sin. It may not be your iniquity. It could be that of those who preceded you, your parents, your grandparents, your lineage. It could be the sin of the land, of the nation. I've said this before. I still remember years when we were young in God's own country. A graduate, they will be begging you for a job, and there is what is called Pidgeot 504, right? Brand new, waiting for you. But here comes First Tax 77. We raised up an altar. We brought in all gods. Under the guise of, is it inclusivity and whatever they want to call it. And God is a jealous God. My heart bleeds for our nation, Nigeria, even up to now. Because any time I remember that there is a generation that does not know that Nigeria was once great. Please, let's rise up and pray this prayer for our nation, Nigeria. Some of us did not know that Nigeria was great. In those days, you want to come abroad. You don't need to apply for visa. They will be begging you to come. Altars are real. Please, let's lift up our voice and pray for our nation. The Lord said, Nigeria shall be great again. Lift up your voice. Nigeria, among the League of Nations. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Mercy as a nation. We come before you in genuine repentance. Have mercy. Have mercy upon our nation, Nigeria. We have sinned as a nation. We have transgressed against your ordinances. We have bowed our knees to strange God. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. We come before your throne in the new repentance. Have mercy. Let the glory of Nigeria be restored. In Jesus' name, we are praying. The Lord bless you. You can have your seats. Do I break free from every evil altar? Number one, I say you need to come to the throne of God. In what? In genuine repentance. Number two, you must plead the blood of Jesus. I'm going to explain this. You see, when we say, I plead the blood of Jesus, we're not just talking of mere words. Let me tell you the reason why that blood is powerful. Praise God. You see, every time a sacrifice is offered, it is to atone for something, correct? And the priests, before they even go into the presence of the Lord those days, they will have to offer sacrifices for themselves first, before they will even remember the people. But there was a man, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And he shed his blood once and paid the penalty. Amen. And as a result of that blood that was shed, there is no need for the shedding of any blood again. And so when you said you are pleading the blood of Jesus, let me explain what that meant. The blood of Jesus is what justifies us. Because our sin and our iniquity was erased. And so when God is looking at us, he's seeing the righteousness of his Son. Are we together? And so, anytime there is an evil altar against you, the blood is speaking mercy on your behalf. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may do what? That means if you are not connected to that blood of Jesus, there is no mercy for you. You see, that's why altars, when giving a commandment, can wait 5, 10, 20 years to bring a man down. But when the Bible said the blood of Jesus, that same blood that is speaking mercy on your behalf is the same blood that is now speaking justice and judgment over every negative altar. Are we together? How did I know? Cain and Abel. When Cain killed his brother, what does the scripture say? That the blood is speaking. Hello, church. God did not have the voice of mercy. The voice of mercy was not heard. The blood of Abel was crying for what? That means if there is an evil altar set up and erected, there is always a voice on every altar. And so if the voice that is speaking and you don't have the backing of the altar of God, God have mercy. I pray for someone. Every blood speaking evil. Every blood speaking vengeance. Every blood speaking revenge against you and your household. I judge them now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On your behalf, I decree and declare that the blood of Jesus will begin to speak.
Amen.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Beloved, who has redeemed us? From what? There is the curse of the law. And he made himself to be that curse for us. The Bible says he has redeemed us. And so every time any form of voices are what? Are being released against you. Because you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Only if you have a relationship with Jesus, there is another voice answering them. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 24, from verse 7, says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. You can't just speak without the basis. The gate ask, who are you? Says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lived, ye everlasting. He says, who are you? He says, I'm the Lord who is strong and mighty. And for emphasis, gates, if you are not listening, I'm the one who is mighty in. Every gate erected, set up to block progress, goodness, favor against someone, I break them down now. By the power that is in the name of Jesus. You see, when you plead the blood of Jesus, what you are doing is you are connecting yourself to the finished sacrificial work that Jesus completed on the cross of Calvary. And that's the reason why it does not matter where anyone is in the world. The moment you come to Christ, there is, you see, the sacrifice that went behind the blood. Jesus didn't just shed his blood. Do you know the sacrifices that went before he eventually laid down his life? That's the reason why the Bible said there is no divination against Israel. Neither is there any enchantment against Jacob, because the one who is backing you, the covenant that you have, is not just an ordinary covenant. How do I break free from evil covenant, evil altar? Number one, I said you must come to God. In what? Genuine repentance. Number two, you must plead. Now you understand. When we're saying I plead the blood, you are not just reciting, no. That blood, you are invoking it. For me, it is for mercy. But for anything that's against me, it's justice and judgment. When the Bible says, John 8:32, if Jesus set you free, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? What you don't know will not set you free. Most of us have the Bible, but we don't know the truth. Because it is in the knowing that you will stand on the word and begin to declare that I am not under any form of yoke, oppression, affliction again, because Christ Jesus has set me. And that's why it says in that verse 36, if the Son of God has set you free, you shall be what? Number three, for time's sake, Holy Spirit, help us. And this is the most important point I want to bring, beloved. It is not just enough to pull down and to break altar. You must rebuild an altar unto the Lord. Rebuild an altar unto the Lord and offer sacrifices. And this is important. And this is the key that most believers miss. But say, yes, I'm born again. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are new. Yes, we know that. But those altars, they don't know. Altars have voices. And so if there are certain things that you did not follow the protocol. No, Jesus, God could have sent an angel to come and die, correct? No, let's be realistic. Angel Gabriel, Angel Michael, or even send legions of angels to come and die. There could be an angel for everyone on earth, correct? But he sent his only begotten son to show us the power of sacrifice. You must rebuild an altar unto the Lord. And do what? And offer sacrifices. There is a man in the scripture called Job. The Bible says he was righteous. And every waking day, this man will offer sacrifices for himself and all his children. He says because peradventure, they might have sinned against God. No wonder Job was fortified. The devil tried all. He could not penetrate this man. And then he showed up in the council of heaven. He says, I'm just going to and fro. And God was boasting, have you not seen Job, my servant? And the devil confessed, I can't touch him because you have placed an edge, round about him. In the book of Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. When Noah came out of the ark, the first thing he did was to build an altar unto who? And the Bible says, when he built that altar, he took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, and did what? Offer burnt everything that was clean. He offered them to God. One thing is for you to have an altar. It's another thing to offer sacrifices. The same thing happened to Gideon. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. Limakatosha prendele moshe ketenderi embrata makatoshkelia. I'm speaking to someone. Mankuli prombatush kapali andaya. The Lord gave me a vision. I'm seeing a man. I can't see the face because there was no face. It's like an headless person. But the person was dressed corporately, like in suits. Every altar that has covered your glory, covered your greatness, covered your greatness and your glory, your greatness and your glory, your greatness and your glory and your honor, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I declare you are free now.
Amen.
Free now.
Amen.
Free now.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where are we? You must rebuild the altar of the Lord and do what? Offer sacrifices for time's sake. Second Samuel chapter 24. This was the story of David when he sinned against God and made a census. And the Lord told him, he sent his prophet to him, "I'm going to punish you. Pick one out of three. 7 years of famine, 3 months in the hand of your enemy, or 3 days of pestilence." And David said, "I would rather fall into the hand of the Almighty God. Because man, 3 days, or even 3 months, not even 1 day, man will finish you." He said, "But his mercy are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man." If you go down to verse 24, he got to the threshing floor of Arauna and he wants to offer to the Lord. And Arauna said, "I will give it to you for free." David said, "No, I can't do that. I can't take it from you because I will never be able to offer anything to God as a sacrifice if it doesn't cost me something." Beloved, if you don't have an altar unto the Lord, the first thing you need to do is to build a new one. If you have an altar that you have not been kept, you need to rebuild that altar. That was what Elijah did, correct? In 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 30. The Bible says he repaired the altar of the Lord. He set up the stones according to the number of the tribe, children of Israel. Amen. Altar of the Lord that was broken down, he repaired it. And then the Bible says he now put a sacrifice on the altar. He put wood, he put fire, and he now asked them to put water. If you don't have an altar, raise up one. Now, you remember when I said altar, we're not talking of what? Anything physical again. You can have a place in your house, in your room that you have dedicated. That's okay. But the moment, if you don't get to a particular place, you cannot pray, you are doing idolatry. No, some people will tell you, no, I can't until I get to this particular. No. I said you are a mobile altar because your body has become the temple of the living God. But where I put the warning is that you need to be careful where you connect to. Because if that altar is not unto the Lord, you are introducing yourself to something dangerous. Amen. When we talk about sacrifice, let me break it down for you. There are three things that must be when we talk about sacrifice. The first one is the sacrifice of your life. We read it earlier, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Praise God. That you present your body, the sacrifice of your life. If you don't surrender your will first on the altar, most of us come before God. He says, God, here is my service. Here is my time. Here is my money. No, God is not interested. If you don't surrender your life, your will first, that you present your body a living sacrifice. It is when your life is consecrated to God. In this month of consecration, if you have not consecrated yourself to God, that is where we're going to start. Because if you are not connected to God, oh yes, other altars will begin to speak on your behalf. You see, that's the reason why you will wake up and you begin to see harvest that you did not plant. Because there is always a farmer. Every land grows, whether you plant it or not. Are we together, church? Do you plant weed in your garden? What will happen to the weed? They will show up uninvited. The devil said in the presence of God, it is from going to and fro from the face of the earth that I noticed Job. I don't want to have anything. I don't offend anyone. That's not the devil. Praise God. The sacrifice of your life. A living sacrifice. The second sacrifice is the sacrifice of your time. And I will explain that. You see, when you have an altar, you must spend time. Time in prayers, time in worship, time in the Word. We are in a generation that everything is drive-through. You wake up in the morning and on your altar, you just drive-through. It depends on your schedule. Some people could be afternoon, could be evening. But you must have an altar. And on that altar, there must be sacrifice of your time. When we use the word sacrifice, now, I'm sure you know, sacrifice means it will cost you. Something that David says, I cannot offer to God. That would cost me nothing. Sacrifice of your time. Time in the place of prayer. Time in listening to the voice of God when you devote yourself to His word. In the place of worship, when you are lost in His presence and you are not looking at time. I hope someone is not looking at time today. Because God is judging altar today. In the name of Jesus. Sacrifice must cost you something. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Acts 6, 4. Talking about the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we are tired of this administration. Let's appoint people who will be administrator. But we will give ourselves to what? To what, church? How? Continually. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Continually to the ministry of the word. Continually means you must sacrifice time in prayer, time in the word. Number three, and then we'll begin to pray. Still talking about rebuilding an altar and off, you know, you must offer sacrifice. And I'm talking about the type of sacrifice. The first sacrifice is the sacrifice of your... When your will is still yours to do whatever you want, no, you are not ready. When you are not ready to sacrifice your time in prayer, in fasting, in the world, in worship, no, altars will continue to speak on your behalf. And the third one is the sacrifice of your gift. And this is very, very important. Sacrifice of your gift. Now, when we're talking about gift, you see, every time people come before the presence of the Lord, they always bring what? A sacrifice. That's why it is called a sacrifice. They will bring a seed. It could be a goat, a bullock, whatever it is. If there is no sacrifice on your altar, when the fire fall, there will be nothing to consume. Amen. If you go back to that 2 Samuel 24:24, the sacrifice of your gift, your seed. David said to Arauna, I am not going to take it from you for free. How can I offer to God that which cost me nothing? Most of us want to break evil altar. We are not ready to offer tangible sacrifice unto God. Hello, church. I'm not talking about you. You know when God asked, what's his name now? Abraham. He says, go to Mount Moriah and go and offer on one of those mountains your who? Your only son, the son of promise. But was he only Isaac that was his son? Hello, church. There was Ishmael. God is not going to place demand on Ishmael. Most of us come before the presence of God. I bring sacrifice, and it's Ishmael. God is saying, no, I want Isaac. Something that will cost you. I am not going to give to God that will cost me nothing. Isaac will cost you. That's why he never told Mama Sarah when he was leaving. Amen. If it is not costing you, then it is not for God. Holy Spirit, help us. Sikiterian tabrande makatobo shabaratendeline gedemenekete brendebelene gedebosh. Please, let's rise up. Ekapro makato roboto shantebeline gedebradabala gedebo shabala nekete menekete belene gedebradabadush. Because when you complete this cycle, you come to God in repentance. You plead the blood of Jesus for mercy, for justice, and it becomes judgment to the enemy. And you raise up an altar. If you don't have an altar, I'm sure you know what I mean. If you have not given your life to Jesus, that's where you are going to start. If you have given your life to Jesus, your own altar is only on Sundays. And after the service, see you God next Sunday. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sacrifice. Even if you have an altar, if there is nothing on that altar as a sacrifice, when the Bible says, I believe it's Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. It says, the fire, amen, the fire shall ever be burning. Where? It shall never go out. Sacrifice of your prayers, of your offering, of your worship, of your life. Because the day you stop, another farmer will start to plant in your garden. Altars. Ah, God is judging altar this morning. God is judging altar this morning. God is judging altar this morning. Give me 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 37. And then we're going to begin to pray. I believe our pastor told us earlier when we're praying, today is not one of those days that you need to look at time. When Elijah raised up the altar, rebuilt it, put the sacrifice, the Bible says at the hour of prayer, he now showed up. And he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art God and you have turned their heart back again. Verse 38. That the people may what? May know to the intent that now unto the principalities and power might know that there is another altar speaking on your behalf. What happened? Then the fire fell. The fire will not fall if there is no altar and if there is, if the sacrifice is not in place. Amen. I'd like you to begin to pray. God is a covenant God. Psalm 50 and verse 5. It says, gather together my saints to me, those who have made the covenant with me. By what? By sacrifice. God always have respect unto his covenant. Psalm 74 verse 20. It says, have respect unto the covenant. Because this world is full of the habitation of cruelty. But God is a covenant making and a covenant keeping God. Am I speaking to someone? I don't know what altar has been speaking on your behalf. Oh, fire of the Lord will burn them today. But you have a responsibility. A first prayer point. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, let us come. How? Boldly. To what? To the throne of grace. You are going to pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before your throne of grace this morning in genuine repentance. Lord, forgive me every form of sin, every form of iniquity, my sin, that of my family, that of my lineage, that of my generation. Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. Go ahead and pray. Every sin that has opened my life up to evil altar. Lord, mercy, 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 mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy upon my home, upon my life, upon my children, upon my lineage, upon my household, upon my family, upon my generation. Mercy, 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 mercy. And to the blood of Jesus, the blood that is speaking mercy, the blood that is speaking mercy, let the blood of Jesus speak on my behalf. In Jesus' name, we are praying. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. You're still going to repeat that prayer. In that Hebrews 12, 24, it says, and to the blood of sprinkle that speaks better than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus is only blood that is speaking favor, healing, lifting, deliverance, and mercy. I want you to begin to plead the blood of Jesus upon your health, upon your children, upon your home, upon your destiny. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Eternal blood of Christ. I plead, I plead, I plead the blood of Jesus. I play the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And to the blood of sprinkle that speaks better than that of Abel. In Jesus' name we are praying. In that Galatians, I believe it's 3:13. Amen. You want to begin to disassociate yourself, remove yourself, disconnect yourself. Because the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from what? Every curse of the law. You are going to pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every evil covenant that binds me to evil altar, I break free now by the blood of Jesus. I disconnect myself from every evil covenant that binds me, that connects me to any form of evil altar. Sheka barada bakatabo, imbreketekeledeketabo. I break free. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I separate myself. I separate my family, my spouse, my children from any form of altar, from every form of evil altar. Gates and everlasting door. Abreketeketebo, shabarateketebo, raneketeketekebebreketebo. In Jesus' name, we are praying. You are still praying. Sacrifice of your time in prayer. The psalmist says, in that Psalm 24 and verse 7, says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting. Beloved, gates are real. I know gates are real. Because when I came to this country 20-something years ago, I'm telling you, when the gate of a nation did not open to you, you will struggle. I know people. As far as I can still remember, when I came, 2003, I was working in a factory. They are still there laboring. Gates, they are real. And altar speaks. I speak to the destiny of a young lady. Every altar that has bind you, that you will not be great in life, let that altar receive fire. Fire of the Lord. Burn. E kalibo sheline makasontoria. Radamakate bekete kete brekete rebo. You are going to pray. He says, lift up your head, O ye, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting gates. Control access to blessing, access to greatness, access to promotion. I have told church, it is not ordinary. When at the edge of success, they always tell you, sorry. And I mean consistently. That's a pattern. You need to break such altar that is speaking retrogression. Lift up your mouth. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Every gate and everlasting door raised, set up, erected against my progress, against my lifting. Hear the word of the living God. Lift up your head, O ye gate. Be ye lifted up, every everlasting door, because the Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. I break free. I break free by the tender blood of Jesus from every evil altar. Rekabosh, lebreketekeyeketebo, rabakatekeketekete, rebobobobo, sheberekete, rabokotobo shete derie. Hey, I break free. In Jesus' name, we are praying. We're still praying. Two more prayer points before we start to minister. Ah, Shelly and the Malaya Brandel and the Moshit in the Briaketabo, Rakata Balina Catabarosso Tondolie. When the Lord called Gideon, the first thing that the Lord asked him to do was to pull down the altar that his father has erected. Amen. Pull down the altar that your father... You see, there are altars that predate us. I'm sure you remember the city of Jericho. The man, Joshua, conquered Jericho. That should have been enough, but he placed a curse. He says, whoever will build this city will start the foundation with his firstborn and will finish the gate with his last. And that was what happened. And so when a freshly minted man of God called Elisha showed up, they cried to him, "Oh man of God, as you can see, this city looks wonderful, looks good. I know we are in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but it's not everyone that is enjoying the milk and honey in this land. That's why you need to cry." One thing that I want us to know when it comes to breaking of altar, after you rebuild the altar of the Lord and you offer your sacrifices, there is what is called prophetic declaration. Elijah said at the time of oblation, "If I am a man sent from God, Lord, that these people may know that you have come," he says, "hear me." And what happened? The Bible said the fire fell. And as a result of that fire, 400 prophets of Baal were what? Were destroyed. You're going to cry to God. Every prophet, you see, every evil altar has priests that are managing and monitoring them. And so every evil altar, every priest giving such order, commandment, instruction, let the fire of God, let it fall on them and consume them. Pray, every evil order against my destiny. Abaranye ketende brekele debo shekete kebrekete debo. Redne ketebe lekete bedekete brekete debo. Burn! Burn! Every evil altar, every prophet, every priest of such altar, let them receive fire. In Jesus' name, we are praying. One more prayer point. Ekaboria. That's 2 Samuel 24. Give me verse 25. Ah. When David offered to buy the land from Arauna, he paid the full price. And the Bible says when they had offered, and David built there an altar unto who? Altar unto the Lord. You need to erect a new altar unto the Lord if you don't have one. You are going to ask God for grace to build an altar. And not only to build an altar, the Bible says he offered peace offering, burnt offering. And what happened? So the land was entreated by God. And the plague was what? And the plague stopped. And the plague ceased. And the plague stayed. Every evil altar that has been speaking, I decree and declare by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Oh, by your sacrifices this day upon the altar of God at Bethel, let every plague in your life, let it cease. Let it stop. Let it cease. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Eratamakatabu. Oh, Sheliande man rante lu jabarante brontu lomosh. I'd like someone to pray one more prayer point. And your prayer is going to be different. There are some of us that your first prayer is that you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Because if you don't lay down your life as a living sacrifice, the fire will not come. There are some of us, your own prayer would be the sacrifice of your time in prayer, in fasting. And there are some of us, it is a sacrifice of your gift. You see, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm saying, by the Spirit of the Lord, for someone, it's not for everybody. Please listen, hear me, church. I'm not going to be telling you the truth if I don't tell you that sacrifices are real. When Solomon offered a 1,000 burnt offering, what did the God of heaven said? God brought him into an overflow, and there was no other king like Solomon ever. Before you pray, the Lord is placing a demand on some people. It depends on what the Lord is telling you. Whatever sacrifice you need to offer, if God is asking you, it is time to offer your seed. David said, I'm not going to give to God. That would cost me nothing. For me, I know what I need to offer now, because God has placed a demand on me. And I'm not saying this is not offering. This is not tithe. This is a seed. I'll give you a minute to think about it. Let the Spirit of God. You see, when you offer to God that which is your Isaac, there's a family. There is a pattern of negative occurrence. And this negative occurrence predates you. You have heard about it, and you can see patterns in your own life. Fire is falling here today. Amen. And you will be liberated. Amen. I'll give you an opportunity now to pray. But before you pray this prayer, whatever the Lord is laying in your heart to do, please do. For I know for someone, God is saying you need to rebuild your altar. for someone, God is saying, you have rebuilded the altar. I need quality sacrifice. Sacrifice of your life, sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your seed. Remember, I said, as believers, we break free from altar. But if you do erect an altar unto the Lord that will continue to speak on your behalf, that's why some people still continue to see this pattern. I'll give you a minute to begin to talk to the Lord and begin to pray. I don't know what altar you need to rebuild. I don't know what sacrifices you need to offer on that altar. Is it the sacrifice of your life? Is it the sacrifice of your time? Is it your own seed? Yes, go ahead and pray. Talk to the Lord. David said, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Thank you, Lord. Makatebele negedebo rashate brende makatebele debo shebelente brende bele negedebo. In Jesus' name. We're going to take a song. And then after that, I'll speak over your life. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
Listen, church, the Lord is ministering to me. Holy Spirit, help us. I'm going to ask us to pray. You're going to pray for yourself. But there are some people that the Lord wants to touch now. And I want you to take this prayer seriously. Please stop looking around. I want you to take the battle for your own glory seriously. Because God is saying, I'm judging altars now. I'm judging altars. I'm judging altars. I'm judging altars. Apaikate teporuante ketebosh palia. Mande ketebriye le ketemotus katambariye keketebo. You are going to pray. And the prayer is very simple. I don't know every voice that has been speaking against your progress. Every altar that has been speaking negativity, speaking sickness, speaking affliction, speaking retrogression, you are going to come against them in the name of the Lord. Let's begin to pray. And the choir will continue to sing that song. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Take over, take over, take over, take over, take over, take over, take over. Yes, everlasting door. Break now, 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 break now. Rakabaye, tekerebobobo. Break free. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Have your way. Where are they? Everyone under any form of satanic altar, under any form of evil altar, under any form of evil altar that is speaking, we break every such altar set up to afflict you, to stop for someone. Every altar against you to stop your progress, to stop your rising. Let that altar receive fire in the name of Jesus. Every altar that is sponsoring stagnation, altar that is sponsoring retrogression, altar that is sponsoring sickness, I come in a name. It is the name of Jesus. I judge you. Every altar of evil, every altar of Baal, receive the fire of the Lord. Amen. I separate these people from every form of altar. Every form of altar. By the eternal blood of Jesus Christ. For someone, every covenant that is binding you, connecting you to that altar. Now, by the power that is in the name and through the blood of Jesus, be delivered.
Amen.
Be set free.
Amen.
Be set free.
Amen.
Be set free.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus, I bring judgment. Judgment of the Lord. Of the law against every form of yokes, yokes and burdens that the enemy has placed over your life. Let the judgment of God begin to speak now.
Amen.
I connect someone's destiny to the altar of God. I connect your destiny to the altar of God, to the altar of God, to the altar of God, to the altar of God. And I silence permanently every accusing voices in the name of Jesus. The bully and the bush, Shatalia. Wherever your name has been invoked for evil, let the mercy of God begin to speak for you. Let the mercy of God begin to speak for you. Begin to speak for you. Begin to speak for you. In the name of Jesus. Raise up your right hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand upon your altar at Bethel this afternoon. And I speak to every spirit behind any form of infirmities, behind any form of sicknesses, behind any form of affliction. I cast you out now. Let the people of God go. Go. Never to return again. I decree wholeness to someone. In your body, receive wholeness. Receive wholeness. Receive wholeness. Every form of pain, back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, arthritic pain, be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed now. In the name of Jesus. I'm hearing the word, you are my glory and the lifter up of my head. The Lord is saying for someone, the chain that has held you bound is broken.
Amen.
It is broken.
Amen.
It is broken.
Amen.
As the Lord lift up the head of Joseph, I decree as you step out from this place, the hand of the Lord will lift up your head.
Amen.
To glory.
Amen.
To greatness.
Amen.
To increase.
Amen.
To promotion. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand and begin to appreciate God. Go ahead and appreciate God.